Chapter 9. Bravery. Wo hitike, having or showing courage. The story of Defender. Long ago, our people survived by hunting and by fighting when necessary. So Lakota boys had to learn the skills to be providers as well as protectors, hunters as well as warriors. For skills like making weapons, tracking, and shooting bows and arrows, a boy needed good hands and a good eye. It was easy to see which boy was good with a bow or which was good at tracking. But to be a good hunter and a warrior, it was also necessary to be brave, and that could not always be seen in a boy. We believed that it was in everyone to be brave, but we also knew that boys had to be given the chance to learn they could be brave. My grandmother told me a story about one boy long ago. His boyhood name was Hoka, the badger. Though he was named for a ferocious animal, he was a quiet child. In fact, he hardly ever cried when he was a baby. In time, he would earn another name. Hoka was eager to learn. By the time he was 12, he could make arrows better than most grown men. By the time he was 14, he was deadly with his bow. He could look at a track and know what animal had passed by and when. He was quiet and often went off alone, so his father worried. One of Hoka's uncles said it was time to see what the boy was made of. One day, that uncle organized a hunting party and invited Hoka along. It was customary for a boy on the edge of manhood to be invited along on a hunt or the warpath as a helper. Such a helper did chores around the camp, but also was given the chance to learn from the experience. The hunting party was after elk. A medicine dreamer needed the fine hide of a mature elk to make into a courting robe, and some of the old ones in the village needed fresh meat. So after the proper preparations, the hunters departed. They found a good spot for a hunting camp in a valley thick with cottonwood and oak. Hoka helped to set up the camp while some of the hunters went out on a scout. They returned with good news. The next morning, with Hoka carrying the extra weapons, water, and food pouches, the hunters went after their game. They were successful. They returned to camp with 2 fine elk. The elk was skinned and butchered. Hoka's uncle said the hunters would go out again the next day and that Hoka would stay behind to guard the camp. Guarding the camp was a big responsibility. Coyotes, wolves, or bears could come after the fresh meat, so someone had to stay behind. More importantly, guarding the camp was the same as defending the village where there were many helpless, like the old ones and the women and children. This was an important lesson for a boy about to become a man. Soon after sunrise, the hunters left, assuring Hoka that they would return by sundown. His uncle reminded the boy that the elk meat would feed many families back in the village, so nothing must happen to it. He reminded him that the elk hides for the medicine dreamer had been stretched out to dry, and that they were very important as well. Hoka gathered his bow and arrows and promised he would guard the camp. The camp was well hidden in the oak and cottonwood near the creek, but that also meant an enemy could sneak up close under cover. The meat was hanging from a pole, placed in the forks of 2 young cottonwoods and covered over with cut willow branches. Though out of sight, the meat could not be hidden from the keen noses of 4-legged meat-eaters. Of that, Hoka was well aware. Yet the first visitor was not 4-legged. It was the loud black-and-white magpie, an opportunist who quickly announced his discovery to the whole valley. Soon a flock of magpies surrounded the camp. A well-placed cloud of dirt now and then kept the magpies away, but they made themselves a constant nuisance and their loud, screechy calls were no less a bother. Hoka knew that other creatures like the short-tailed cat, the great cat, coyotes, bears, and wolves often followed the loud calls of the magpies. Wolves and coyotes would not attack 2-leggeds, but bears and a great cat were another matter. So Hoka kept his weapons close and his eyes on the surrounding trees. At mid-morning, Hoka was tiring of throwing dirt clods at the magpies and went to the creek to fill his water pouch. Returning to the camp, he came upon a large track resembling a bear's paw print. He studied it carefully. The print was not deep, but it was large, and Hoka couldn't remember seeing it on his way to the water. Back at camp, he strung his bow and put his arrows within easy reach. Bears could be killed with a bow. A few hunters had done it, but they were grown men and much stronger than he and with stouter bows than his. There were also a few stories of hunters who had been killed or maimed by an angry wounded bear, like the man named Crooked Leg whose ankle had been broken by a bear with one bite. After the charging buffalo, a bear with a hump on his back was the most dangerous four-legged anywhere. Hoka was more watchful, keeping his ears and eyes open. Only the leaves, grasses, and shrubs were moving with the gentle breeze that flowed through the grove. The only sounds were the loud magpies. He was about to think that the track he had found was old when something scared away the magpies. With loud screeching, they flapped away from the grove. Other birds fled as well, leaving behind a sudden silence. Hoka crouched with his bow, his back to a tree, and placed an arrow on a string. Whatever had frightened the magpies had to be something more dangerous than a coyote. The possibilities were not good. Only a ferocious hunter like the gray short-tailed cat, the great yellow cat, the wolf, or a bear could frighten away every other creature. He listened hard and looked closely all around. There was only the silence and nothing moved, as if the breezes had fled too. Hoka glanced up at the sun. It was not yet the middle of the day, meaning there was a long wait until sundown and the hunter's return. He was alone against whatever had caused the strange silence. It dragged on. Perhaps something had just passed through, he hoped. Then he heard a rustling in the brush. Hoka took a position to shoot. He had seen bears at a distance, but never up close. Once, while hunting with his father, he had witnessed the great yellow cat take down a deer. It had been very swift and powerful. What was out there among trees, he didn't know. But he imagined he would be able to get off one shot, maybe two. Once again, there was only the silence. Hoka relaxed a little, but he kept the bow in his hand, the arrow still held on a string. He pressed his back against the tree and slowly swept his gaze all around until he completed a circle. Still, there was nothing but silence. He began to consider what to do if a bear or the great cat came for him across the clearing. Both of those four-leggers were very swift. They could outrun a two-legged easily. One shot was all he would get, if that, and one arrow wouldn't kill any animal that large. The tree next to him was a large cottonwood with high branches. He could climb it high enough to be out of a bear's reach, because the humpback bear couldn't climb trees. But the great yellow cat could easily. Hoka pondered. What was he to do? He could go and look for the hunters, he thought. But they were counting on him to guard the meat. Hunting wasn't easy. It was hard work, requiring much skill and patience. If a bear or a great yellow cat came in and took the meat while he was off looking for the hunters, he would be responsible. Everyone would make fun because it would look like he ran away. Hoka sighed deeply. Clearly, there was nothing to do but defend the camp. Still, he knew very well what a bear or a great yellow cat could do to him. He shuddered at the thought of it. One of the hunters had left behind a lance, so Hoka brought that close. It would be the last thing he would use if his arrows missed, or if he couldn't get off more than two shots. The rustling came again, this time to his left. Hoka swung around to shoot, but saw nothing. The noise was louder this time. Whatever made it was not a small animal like a badger or a fox, and had to be large. Something moved. Something dark and large and fast. Hoka caught the movement in the corner of his eye. He gasped and swung around. The dark figure disappeared behind some trees. Hoka waited, trying not to breathe hard because it would spoil his aim if he had to shoot. Now he knew for certain there was something out there. He suddenly realized his heart was thumping against his chest. Hoka tried to reason past his fear. He guessed it was not a great yellow cat because the cat was a stalker. Its way of hunting was to move in close without being seen, and then spring. The thing out there was dark, perhaps black, and not tawny yellow. It could only be a bear. Something was out there, and he might have to face it. Remembering the story of the hunter from a village to the north, he preferred to face a bear. His grandfather had told him of a man hunting near the Great Muddy River. The man noticed a great cat watching him. It followed him across a creek, into a forest, and up a tree. The cat was relentless, screaming and growling as it climbed. Somehow the hunter thrust his lance as the cat leapt. It impaled itself, and both cat and hunter fell, crashing to the forest floor. That hunter had been very lucky. He lived to tell a story and made a fine bowcase and quiver from the cat's hide. The last thing Hoka wanted to face was the great yellow cat. Truth was, he didn't want to face the bear either. But it seemed as if he would have no choice. His gaze swept the grove all around him once again. His mouth was dry. He removed his shirt so that its sleeves wouldn't get in the way of the bowstring. Taking out three arrows, he stuck them in the ground in front of him and arranged the quiver full of at least 20 arrows at his left hip. Counting the arrow on the string, he calculated 4 fast shots, if he had time. A loud thrashing from behind startled him. He whirled and bent his bow, expecting to see some large black thing coming for him. The noise stopped.